この番組はジャパントップ10ナンバーワンの J-POP ポッドキャストです。このエピソードはカルチャーエピソードです。 You're listening to Japan Top 10 The number one Japanese music podcast. You're listening to A Culture's episode on Japan Top
10. Hello everyone, this is Andy
and Fred.
Yes, and welcome to Japan Top 10. We have a wonderful cultures episode for you today, and our focus is something near and dear to my heart. It is Japanese crafts. So we will be diving deep into the artisanal craft scene, and I'm really excited because this is actually Fred's first episode. Welcome.
It is, yeah. I'm Fred. I'm a musician from Toronto, Canada. I've been lucky enough to do some audio editing for Japan Top 10. And this is my first time on the other side of the microphone, so I'm very excited.
Yes, and we are so excited to have you. I love getting to interact with all of our staff on and off mic, and it's nice to interact on mic this time.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, before we get too deep into our dive into the world of artisanal crafts in Japan, we do have a few announcements for you. So, although we have been adding many wonderful new members, we are still looking for more. So if you are interested in joining our team, we are urgently looking for various staff members, including audio editors, content producers, and even on-air hosts to join the podcast. So if you are interested and passionate about Japanese music, why not join the biggest and best Japanese music-based podcast out there, ours? And you can find all those details by checking our website at jtop10.jp/join.
Want to advertise on our podcast? Market your brand onto one of the world's most popular Japanese cultural-based podcasts. Reach up to potentially 70,000 listeners around the world on a weekly basis with advertising costs that will fit your company's budget. Find the full details at jtop10.jp to find an advertising plan that will suit your company's needs.
And if you are an indie Japanese music artist or create Japanese music and want some exposure, please get in touch with our music director by sending them an email at nola@jtop10.jp. That's nola@jtop10.jp, along with the song you would like us to feature, and hopefully we can get you some exposure.
Yes, and if you're enjoying this Cultures episode, remember you can receive the full version of this episode by becoming a Patreon donor, starting at just a dollar. You'll receive this episode without any announcements or interruptions, just commentary and music. Check out our website at jtop10.jp/club for details.
Wonderful. Well, as is customary, I do have to ask Fred, like, what is your connection to, before we get into today's topic, just so that our listeners can
sure.
get to know you a little bit better, what's your connection to either JTOP 10 or Japanese music? Or, yeah, I'm curious to know if you have any background.
I was raised in the 90s in North America, where a lot of Japanese media was imported to us. So I was always kind of curious about manga and anime and these weird comics that I kept finding at the library. And so I'm a musician as well, so I'm not super familiar with Japanese music, although as I've been editing the podcast, I've been learning more and more. Mm. But I am very familiar with the music side of things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. And I also learn languages for fun, so I have been learning Japanese for many years and struggling along.
Oh, no. No, I'm yeah. sure you're doing wonderfully, though. It's
yeah. a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, for sure.
It's awesome. And yeah, what kind of music do you... Yeah, what instruments or...
I play guitar, mainly. Mm-hmm. Well, I went to school for flamenco guitar, which is like Spanish.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Finger style. I also play like piano and drums, but I would say guitar is my main focus, yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Cool. Well, I am excited because usually I have nothing to contribute musically. I'm like, oh, it sounds cool. So yeah, if there's any little tidbits as we go along, I'd be happy to hear from you and your perspective there.
Definitely some good guitars in the songs we have coming up today.
Heck yeah, nice. All right, well, we can get into our meat and potatoes for this episode. And this is something I am deeply passionate about, as I actually studied art history in college. Mm, and so wow. I really am excited to talk about crafts today and dive into that. So just off the bat, to kind of dive into things, let's lay the foundation. And as I'm sure many of our listeners know, Japan has a quite unique array of crafts that display both local talents and national emblems, with the addition of great expertise and undeniable quality. The use of precious materials such as gold and silver, as well as silk and even rare wood, is a testament to these long-standing crafts. And the combination of old traditions dating back centuries, as well as new technologies, has really allowed Japan to produce some of the most highly desired crafts across the world.
Yes, and there are many crafts that produce cookware, such as pots, tea canisters, and teapots, but also paintings and other decorative art forms, such as sculptures, pots, vases, and paintings. Most Japanese crafts involve painting or engraving of some sort.
Yep, and I mean, amongst this, there still is a division between the folk art and fine art in Japan, with the latter occurring far more recently. This divide was largely created due to the evolution of aesthetic culture, such as wabi-sabi, which can be described as the acceptance or appreciation of beauty that is imperfect or incomplete.
Especially in the folk arts of Japan, a bloodline is also very important. A family's trade or craft will typically be carried down by one generation to the next through a long apprenticeship period. Skills and special techniques are shared among family members, but it is also possible for dedicated individuals outside these families to carry on the craftsmanship.
How cool would that be? I just like want to step into, I want to be an apprentice and, you know, carry on some of these beautiful crafts.
That would be very, very intriguing.
But alas, I'm not there yet. If any craftsmen are looking for someone to carry on, please, you know where to contact me. Yeah. And as with many crafts around the world, as well as just art forms in general, Japanese crafts mainly have drawn themes from Buddhism, in its history at least, as well as local landmarks such as cherry blossoms, lotuses, and flowers, even going as far as drawing inspiration from snowy mountaintops like that of Mount Fuji. So It's really funny because I'm sure a lot of people remember the video, what is it, The History of Japan, that like really kind of viral video. Have you ever seen that, Fred?
Yeah. Maybe.
It's just like this kind of funny one-off video, and in the middle of it, the narrator kind of describes the arc of Japanese art, where it's like, oh, there's this guy who's really into Buddhism, and I can't remember the monk's name right now, but there was this specific monk who got like super into Buddhism and basically like invented tea ceremony culture in Japan as we know it today.
Oh, wow.
Which has given birth to, you know, these crafts that we'll discuss later on in the episode, but also it set forth like this precedent for art in Japan as like something to be consumed and reified or like almost like set on a pedestal. So
imagine that just tracing back to you, just one person.
Isn't that crazy? I know, it's like, that was kind of my landmark. Yeah, it's very interesting that there still remains this divide between like folk and high art when they really kind of were birthed out of the same pool.
Sure, just a matter of perception for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, without further ado, I could prattle on all day about art, but why don't we get into some of the specifics? And this is our first topic. We'll actually be talking about joinery, which is a type of woodworking. So Japanese joinery is similar to woodworking, but of course, there are many qualities that set it apart from other techniques seen around the world.
The most prominent feature is how the craftsmen attach pieces of wood either with perfectly complementary shapes carved in them with the use of pegs or tenons, all the while not incorporating any metal or other materials. Very impressive.
Yeah. Have you ever seen any pieces like this
before? I have seen some of the kind of braided, interlocking wood joints, like corner joints. It's very impressive. I've done minor woodworking. Sometimes I build guitars.
Oh my God, cool.
So when you put the neck on the body, that's just one simple joint. So when you look at some of these complicated joints, it's just amazing.
Yeah, well, there's plenty of shows and things that exhibit. You can find it on YouTube, I'm sure, as well. But I've seen this Netflix special that was like looking at incredible houses around the world. And one of the houses they feature was a Japanese house that was like made all of these interlocking joints, these joinery type woodworking. And yeah, it's like, holy moly, that really is a feat.
Especially because the Japanese joinery, the only force at work is the friction between the connected pieces of wood. So they're not even using wood glue or anything.
It's insane. Oh my gosh, the engineering. I wish I had that brain. But Yeah, along with that, there are, of course, many traditions in joinery that have sustained through the centuries, but at the heart of it, simplicity, harmony, and precision are always present themes amongst these woodworking techniques. Mm.
Historically, Japan has always been a lumber-rich nation, so it was easier to develop their building techniques around wood. Temples, homes, and furniture were created using a subtype of joinery called sugite.
Yeah, so sugite is very convenient because not only does it make putting things together simplistic, but also it makes taking them apart just as easy. And this dates back over a millennium, but still captivates modern researchers and builders, even going so far as the University of Tokyo has created a software that allows users to conduct their own sugite projects and understand the process better. That is just wild. I mean, well, you said you have some experience with woodworking. I'm unfortunately not blessed with like any mechanical knowledge or woodworking, but yeah, so it's kind of witchcraft to me all the way down.
It definitely is. It's such a high attention to detail that you'd need for that. You know, just one small mistake and the whole joint wouldn't lock together.
And when you're talking structures like, as aforementioned, temples and houses and other buildings, like that is a feat in and of itself. And one of my favorite things, actually, I don't know if you've seen the hammers that I think this is what they use at in joinery projects, but there's a specific type of wooden hammer that they use, and it looks like a giant oversized mallet. Have you ever seen? It's like the, I don't want to say funny because it's like, arguably I should be like in awe of its beauty and craft, but it is kind of funny to see these like men swinging around these giant hammers that look cartoonishly large to get these joints in place.
Like almost like a croquet mallet or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I could go into like my love for Japanese carpenters and construction workers wear a very specific uniform, which includes like tabi and like really billowy pants. And I'm not sure why, but the look is kind of, you know, it's very fashion forward in and of itself. But
gotta look good to make something good, right?
Exactly, exactly. So, well, hopefully that gave a nice window into joinery. And without belaboring the point, why don't we get into some music?
Absolutely.
And today, yeah, our first song that we have for you is Melody by Bloom. My heart thinks happy.
Baby, sing with me. Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
That, again, was Melody by Bloom, released last year on November 9th, 2022. So Bloom is actually a fictional boy group that was created for the TV drama Kimi no Hana ni Naru, and their name originates from flowers that bloom for you.
There are 7 members that auditioned for the group, with each specializing in a different area of performance, dance, and vocals. They have a TikTok, YouTube channel, and even a Line account, as well as other social media platforms that their content can be viewed on.
Yeah, and the music video for Melody, the song, of course, has almost 8 million views. And although there are only 7 members in the TV drama, they live under a dorm supervisor for the boys, making 8 people in total. And this might be hinting at the 8, which is used in their stage name. Of course, yeah, listeners, only listeners won't get that, but yeah, it is spelled 8, L-O-O-M, but pronounced like Bloom.
I found this song, it was very pleasant, very poppy. Mm-hmm. I wasn't familiar with Bloom before. Were you in?
No, and which is rare because I love, you know, keeping up with the boy bands and things because I'm just fascinated by the culture of it. But no, I hadn't even known that they were developed for this show or anything. Yeah, but I agree. Yeah, poppy, pleasant, and honestly, I've noticed this trend in media recently where, like, fictional groups and artists have really banging songs. Like, this song, I do like it, and I'm like, why can't we make just regular pop that also, why does it have to exist in this show only?
Right, yeah. Why is the fictional band better than real band?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciated it for what it was.
Definitely easy to listen to, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, this will sadly be the end of our episode, but a week from now, we have some special treats for our listeners just in time, right? So Japan Top 10 will turn 10 years old next month. Woo! And to celebrate, we have all our current staff members providing some insightful reflections on our show, along with sharing some of their favorite songs. We may also have some special older staff members guest host as well. So we'll also be featuring a brand new Artist of the Month episode featuring the rock and roll legends Lunacy to be released around the same time. And for that episode, you can look forward to Shana and Connor, who will be your hosts for that Artist of the Month episode.
Lunacy, another great band name.
Oh, let me tell you, and Lunacy is, they deliver. That will be a great banging episode.
I'm looking forward to it for sure.
Well, me too. Until then, I hope everyone stays safe, enjoys hopefully the introduction of spring very soon, and we will catch you on the next one.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
Ciao, ne. Japan Top 10.